Well, hello, everybody. We're going to move on to, can sustainability make vineyards more profitable? It seems, you know, when we talk about sustainability, the first thing everybody, of course, is thinking about is the environment. But then, as we know, because we're all in the business, if we're not making money, we're not going to be sustainable at all. So this whole subject of profitability is a very interesting one. And we've got very different, hopefully, points of view that are going to come forward, in that we've got very different profiles. So I'm going to ask, I think it's easier if everybody introduces themselves. Perhaps I can start with Victoria. Victoria, perhaps you'd like to introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Victoria González Gordon. I'm Spanish, coming from González Vías, south of Spain, Jerez. González Vías is a family-owned company, now in fifth generation, which has gained a lot of complexity in the past years because, well, it was founded 1835, the first approx 150 years, it was dedicated solely to sherry and brandy, so producing wine and spirits here in Jerez. In the past 40 years, we decided to expand to other wine regions. So we are now present in 12 regions, basically in Spain, but also Chile and Mexico, with around 35, 40 different brands. We have now a big team of around 1,000 people, with, I would say, 35% living out of Spain, which also brings a lot of complexity. And we have 2,000 hectares in property. Around 70% are under some kind of sustainable certification. Our sustainability program was started 10 years ago. It's called 5+5 Caring for the Planet. And it represents the five generations of the family that have taken the company to today, so that the next five generations can continue with the mission. So we have implicit this long-term vision that comes with a family-owned company, but also very related to sustainability.
Wonderful. Thank you. That's lots of food for thought there. Thank you very much. Marta, would you explain what you're up to?
Hi, everyone. Thank you for the invitation to Sustainable Wine Roundtable. I'm Marta. I'm from Portugal, by the way. But I'm privileged enough to work with the whole world in as I run the Porto Protocol Foundation. What we are is a wine industry climate action network. And to do so, what we do is share solutions and best practices from companies across the wine value chain. And I must say, like the ones we have on this table today, Wine Society, Soalheiro, and González Vías, all members of the Porto Protocol, and made with amazing practices, by the way. And what we aim to do by sharing these practices and approaches is really foster climate action in the wine world through collaborative sharing. So I hope to contribute to this panel today. Thank you.
Sure you will. Thank you very much. Dom, so a different point of view from a retailer point of view.
Yeah, exactly. So my name's Dom DeVille. I'm Director of Sustainability at the Wine Society. So for those of you who don't know us, we're a wine retailer, essentially. Been around for about 150 years. We only sell in the UK, but we have quite a wide range of wines. So somewhere around 4,000 wines and vintages, or different wines and vintages in any one year. From about 1,000 or so suppliers from around the world, only sell in the UK. So I guess my perspective is on this is just sort of sharing what I'm seeing or what we're seeing across that large and quite diverse supply base on what we're seeing growers, producers doing around sustainability and where they're seeing some of the benefits.
Super. Thank you very much. The subject that we're talking about is really interesting, this profitability. And as I mentioned earlier, it's not necessarily the first thing that comes to mind, perhaps in the for a consumer when they're thinking about sustainability. So the question is, can it be more profitable? So we tend to think of sustainability about perhaps increased costs, or are we making savings? And perhaps I can start with Victoria, because you have lots of examples over, and I love this notion of generation and this notion of family that I think is really important. My background is more Bordeaux. And again, we talk about this notion of family and sustainability within the family is really important in the context of history and carrying on and stewardship. But as you move forward into sustainability, do you see an increase in cost, or are you also making savings? And are the two mutually exclusive, or is it complementary?
Okay, this is a complex question, but I think sustainability needs investment, that's for sure. But then you also need to analyze the risk of not doing it. So what would happen if you don't do it, no? What would happen if you don't make these decisions? Because there are a lot of pressures nowadays. So, well, some of them were discussed just before, but some risks, just if you talk about the soil, because we live, I mean, for us, it's not easy to take, I don't know, the vineyard in Jerez and move it to somewhere else. We are linked to the territory. So this is, we can plant new vines in higher places, maybe, but we cannot move what we have. This is difficult. So what would happen if we don't take any action? Would we have good quality grapes? Would we be able to continue? On the other hand, we have the legislation pushing. So if we are not there, if we don't start, then the risk is bigger, no? There are taxes that are going to, or that are already coming. In Spain, we already have plastic packs. So this is something that we need to prepare, and that we need to invest to be ready. And then, Dom will confirm, no, but retailers are also pushing, because they have their own goals, and their goals come through us. So we need to invest in investigating. We need to invest in changing packaging. We need to invest, but then cost of not doing it, or the risk will probably be bigger. So in the end, I think you need to find the balance between this short term and this long term, because I don't know, if you talk, for example, about being certified in sustainability, for example, in Spain here, we have also wineries for climate protection, which is organized by the Federación Española del Vino. If this will help you I don't know, get listings or keep in determined retailers, but it means you need to pay, and then you need people to look after this, and it takes time as well to prepare and also to follow up. So you need to invest, but the risk of not doing it will probably be bigger.
And we were talking about labor earlier, labor conditions. Labor costs presumably are one of the major costs, because with sustainability, we're perhaps looking at a different way of working in the vines. That means labor costs increase. Marta, is this something that you've seen across the members of the Porto protocol? Is
this Wendy, notion of- Wendy, sorry.
Oh, yeah, hi, Luis. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I have I interrupted okay. Marta. We know very well, but because my computer have really a shutdown in this moment, and I need to restart it. I'm really sorry. It's not very sustainable.
Well, welcome.
I'll follow you now, okay?
Okay, well, perhaps when Martha, then we can come back to you and you can let us know.
Okay, it's only to let you know that I'm here.
Welcome back.
Wendy, you spoke mostly about labor, right? I must say that though it's not the topic that we look into the most as an organization, because we look more at the environmental side, it's, even if we didn't want to, it would be impossible not to, because at the end of the day, more and more as you speak about climate, we are also speaking about climate justice. And the fact is, you have completely different scenarios, both in the old world and in the new world. But I want to bring an example from the new world, from the US, from a company that you're seeing, that you'll be seeing later today, Tablas Creek. And within one of the certifications, since Vicky spoke about certifications they did, which is the Regenerative Organic Alliance, they had to rethink all their labor approach. And they also had to invest literally in better conditions in terms of wages. And the beautiful thing, and I was there last summer, and they were saying that the biggest change they had with this certification that went way beyond the labor side was to, again, invest more in their labor forces with wages. They had a certain budget for it. And when they realized they had spent little more than half of the budget, they had anticipated to increase the wages. And the reason why it was because of the productivity that came with it and the fact that they were able to hire the best workers. And this is really to say, and it goes, as Vicky was saying, sustainability requires investment. Sometimes it's little, if we could, you could think of pistols or ends for your hoses or just lead lightning. Sometimes it's a lot and it takes more time to get your return on investment. But the amazing thing here is once you invested more in your labor, you actually got more than you expected. And I think this is a perfect example in regards to what you were saying. And it's absolutely key for sustainability. If you don't walk your talk, if you as a company, you're only doing it for financial reasons, you will not have your workforce involved. And chances are you will not get the return on investment you would if you actually change the way you approach the human side of your business.
That is so interesting because you immediately think that labor costs are going to increase and so my profitability is going to decrease. But what you're saying, in actual fact, it increases the productivity. So it's coming back to that notion of balance that the Victoria was talking about earlier. It's all about this notion of balance. So we're going to come back to Luis because Luis didn't have time to introduce himself. So if you'd be kind enough just to say a few words about who you
are. Yes, I'm in the north point of Portugal. And Soalheiro, it's a family winery. I'm the winemaker and also on the family board. And we have it's very interesting that we have a nice partners here, the Wine Society, Don. We have some wine together. We send some wine to Wine Society, it's very nice. And Marta, we have a very long relation. And our point of view about sustainability in Soalheiro is very large. It means first, we don't believe that to be sustainable need to be expensive. First, I really think that the managing of a company and the objective ought to be sustainable. We can explain what is to be sustainable because we have a very precise definition. Needs to help us to face the future, getting cost or getting money to invest. Where is the more important thing? For example, innovation. And one of the most important things we have in Soalheiro is the ID, the Investigation and Development Certification. And this Investigation and Development Certification is not only to make new wines, is to make a new process, is to look to a new communication that can put us much more strong in the future. And I give you an example. Can I say now that no more beautiful bottles? Can I say that? No more beautiful bottles. Forget. This is the past. The future is no more beautiful bottles. And maybe we can, with this practical, and Marta knows that we change in our line all the bottles for a lighter bottles, give us a big resilience to the crisis of COVID and to the crisis of the new war. Then if we didn't make this in the past as a strategy, and we don't have the crystal ball, we don't know that this will happen. But can I tell you that I buy the bottles the same price I buy before the war? Am I disturbing your numbers of wine companies? And can I tell you that maybe this year I will reduce more the bottle price? And you can ask how it's possible. It's because we are so resilient with bottles that we can change for the bottle we want now. Because our communication is not on beautiful bottles. is on sustainability. It's a small example. All these touch like 10% of our cost. And then is it very important how this 10% of reducing cost can increase maybe 50% of our global image. Okay, then I can share with you more examples because I believe that sustainability need not to be more expensive in wines, need not to be a cost on a company. Is something that helps us to be much more resilient. Of course, you can ask me if I reduce the prices of the wine. You can ask. Of course, no. Of course, no. Why? Why? Because I increase the prices of the grapes of the 150 families that work with us. Then we put the money where is more important to be sustainable economically for a region. And this is sustainability. Then, we take from one part, it's a lot of people, but maybe from the lobby part to put on the family owners, okay? And this is some simple reflection that we can have in many different ways on our business.
That's really interesting, Ruth. I think this notion of imports, we've talked about labor, but of course imports, we've got chemicals. We've got a little bit of background noise. I don't know where that's coming from. I can hear something. Yeah. Anyway. And what you were talking about, packaging and transport is obviously one of them, and energy, because I did notice that you also have a very sustainable cellar, this new cellar. So energy inputs. So it's really interesting to see that by becoming more sustainable, you're actually saving money on inputs like packaging and bottles. And you talked about pricing. Are you increasing your price? So Dom, perhaps you can step in and talk to us. I think one of the interesting subjects when you're talking about profitability, you've got costs, but you've also got the price that you can charge for the product. How do you perceive the elasticity of the price as far as your consumers are concerned when it comes to sustainability? Is it something that they're willing to pay a little bit more for?
I mean, my honest answer to that is, at the moment, no, we're not seeing that. We are seeing a greater demand for wines that are more sustainable, whether that's because they're in lighter weight bottles or alternative packaging formats. I'm very sorry, Wendy, I've got a... sorry, everybody. Alternative format, or because the wine has, the grapes have been farmed perhaps more regeneratively. So consumers are looking for those things, but we're not seeing them wanting to pay more for it, particularly at the moment with this cost of living crisis. You know, I can't speak authoritatively about other countries, but certainly in the UK, there's a real price war on around wine. You know, supermarkets, everybody's discounting at the moment. And I think that there is a real disconnect between what consumers say they will pay for and what they actually pay for when they walk down the shopping aisles. You know, they say they will buy more sustainably. They say they'll buy the sustainable product over the less sustainable product. But I think the research tells us that that doesn't really play out in actual buying behavior. I think that will change over time, but at the moment we're not seeing it. So I think that, you know, where I think that the opportunities are more for producers is in terms of kind of profits through selling wine, you know, I think it's going to become harder and harder for producers to sell their wines to retailers if they're not taking action on sustainability and clearly demonstrating the actions they're taking. So whether that's getting sustainability certifications, demonstrating that they're reducing carbon emissions, using lower carbon packaging, whatever it might be. I mean, just from the Wine Society's perspective, we've said that by 2030, we will only buy wines from producers that have a credible third-party sustainability certification. So I think that's kind of a direction of travel. And then secondly, I think there's, you know, there is still this, we've talked about it for years, but I think it's growing, this real opportunity for producers to use sustainability to elevate their brand and their reputation. So you may not get a higher price, but you'll get a higher profile on websites. Buyers will want to buy from you. Retailers will market your wines for free because it makes them look good. Retailers want to buy wines from producers that are doing a lot on human rights, are increasingly going to, because retailers don't want to get caught up in human rights scandals. So it's about, you know, it's a way of, you know, if producers can demonstrate that they are taking, they are doing their due diligence and looking after their people, that's also something that's attracted to retailers.
So it's going to be a condition. Being sustainable is going to be a condition of purchase rather than looking at pricing.
I think it's my personal view. And others may disagree. Pricing may happen, but as I say, we're not seeing it at the moment. But I do see the conditions becoming more important over time. You know, over the next 5, 6, 10 years. The direction of travel I see is that retailers will start to stop working with suppliers that are not helping them meet their sustainability goals. So as retailers, we've all, you know, a lot of us now set our sustainability goals. We've got targets around carbon reduction. We've got targets around supply chain due diligence. Over time, we'll be looking to work with suppliers who are helping us meet those goals.
Now, it's very interesting, the carbon footprint, carbon reduction. Energy sources and energy supplies are obviously very, very important across, you know, from production right through to retail and transport in particular. We know that bottle weight and transport are a really huge part of the carbon footprint of the wine industry. When we're talking about energy inputs, has anybody got any comments on whether it's solar power or changing energy or in the winery, reducing energy needs? Because if we can't increase prices, if we're, you know, the question is, can we increase profitability? If we can't increase price, we've got to reduce cost, right? That's the other side of the equation. Victoria, have you got any experience in perhaps cost, does decreasing your carbon footprint decrease your costs, or is it increasing your cost?
Well, we have been measuring our carbon footprint since 2013. What we had in terms of wineries in 2013 is not what we have now or where we are now, because we have been buying some new wineries in the past years. And we are establishing targets to reach the Fit for 55 in 2030. And this needs things to be done. No? I mean, you cannot just say, this is my objective and then don't do anything to get there. So, excuse me. So, we have been implementing clean energies for some years now. So, for example, we have solar parks in 10 of our wineries. We have built a new winery in Rioja for our brand Veronia. And because this is a new building over there, we have been very sustainable. So it has been easier because we have started from scratch to build. So, well, we have two wineries now, but the new one, well, we have geothermia over there. We have aerothermia. We have solar panels. And we have, what's the other one? Solar thermal panels for heating the water there. I mean, it's a new project. It from the design, from the briefing, we have been thinking of being sustainable there. It's easier than, for example, doing something here in Jerez. We have 19th century buildings. We have installed photovoltaic plants in the roofs. It's not easy to put them in other place because this is a historical building. So this is something you also need to take in mind. But for example, cooling or heating this building is more challenging than doing that in the new one in Rioja. So this is, for example, a difference. We have also started experimenting with batteries for storing the energy in Viñas del Vero. We have just started with two projects. As Luis was saying, innovation is very, very important, and it comes with the hand of sustainability many times. So there we have started two projects. One of them is reusing car batteries, so circular economy to store energy. And the other one is because in Viñas del Vero, we have solar photovoltaic plants in the, how do you say, depuradora, in the water treatment plant. The surplus of energy is transformed to green hydrogen, but we are working on a technology for this green hydrogen to be transformed to energy again. So I'm closing the circle.
I do think it's fascinating how much diversity and how much innovation, you come at least was talking about innovation, how much innovation there is there. And it's really exciting to see all these different alleys that people are going down to explore this. There's a question that's come in about environmental sustainability investments, talking about this notion of investment, and a question about how important or how big the support of the EU programs are. I don't know if this is something anybody has experience of.
Not exactly experience. Maybe even Luis or Vicky know more, but there is funding available. It's not that it's easy. It's never easy. And of course, you have many people applying. But yes, there is funding available. We know a variety of companies that have been able to get funding. But let me give you an example, if you don't mind, Wendy, of a completely different type of funding that has to do with energy and funding. We have a member of ours, Perinet, from Spain, in the region of Priorat, that is, say, fairly remote, with many small vineyards still, wineries still, with generators to generate energy. And they were able to source funding from a crowdfunding, from collective funding, to get solar panels. So whether you have European funding available and you also have other type of fundings that have nothing to do with the Green Deal or farm to fork policies, that where you can source investment for innovations that you might have that will bring you environmental and resource management efficiencies.
That's interesting. Luis, have you had any experience of funding all these EU subsidies at all? I know you recently built your new cellar. Oh, we can't hear you, sorry.
Keep my audio. Nowadays, the help of EU funds have always concerning wineries a target on sustainability. Usually environment sustainability, and to have a better score in all the projects, you need to have this link. But let me put, I think, the conversation in one point that I really like to speak about, that is value. I hate price. I hate this word with P. I hate price. It's value. And value is totally different from pricing. I totally agree with them. We need to build a full package. And the full package for us has a new trend now. And Marta is smiling because we always have crazy things. And our last target is very common. It's what people do, environment. But this we do since long time, okay? And we know very well that if we want to touch the environment, we need to reduce the energy and the water in a winery, okay? Is the main 2 points. If you touch these 2 points, you can make some things on the paper, you can make something on the box, of course, it's nice. But if you touch the energy and the water, it's amazing. You touch the most part of the problems of a winery. The benchmark in a winery is that you need 3 liters of water for 1 liter of wine, then this benchmark is very high. This is what is on the target. I don't know if Vittoria have a little around these numbers, but for example, our target is to reduce, for example, to 2. And if we can reduce to 2, we touch a lot and we can use another problem that it's lack of water. We can use some of the water that we get from the rain to do irrigation and maybe to use it in the winery. The second point is energy. How you touch the energy? Producing, very important nowadays. You need to produce as much as you can, and you need to not consume. Then two targets, not consume on the bottles and not consume changing your equipments, because the efficiency of the equipments are changing a lot, changed a lot in the last years. Then you need to change your equipments because you use less. Then the big target nowadays is not more the environment, because we are on the way. We have touching the organic viticulture. We touch the main points. The target now is people. It's people. We need to think about the sustainability of the people. That means, in an easy word, the money on the pocket. If you don't put money on the pocket of the producers of grape, you cannot ask them the other things. Then it's very important that they economically are sustainable. And our target since 2023, of course, it's maintain environment and all the things that we build and get better, but we need to get back to the people. And in Soalheiro, our main objective is we want to have people inland. It's very hard to get people in the north point of Portugal, 80 kilometers far from the big town. We need to have people here, happy people that can produce grapes, and is why we need to increase the prices. We need to get money. And this is a new kind of sustainability that touches the global value of the brand. Let me joke with this. We are like a sandwich. And the wine producer is in the middle of the sandwich. Maybe we are really that make the bridge between the one part that is the grapes produced by us or by others and the consumer. And this middle of the sandwich needed to think in both. And the value is there. And the value of sustainability now, maybe we think it's important to get a little more value. But in the future, it will be a routine, no doubt for me.
It is a really interesting subject, because it seems to me like this conversation has moved from the field. So moving away from, not moving away, because obviously the environment and biodiversity and the chemical inputs is super important. But it seems to me the conversation is, it's not just about that. It used to just be about the natural environment. But now the conversation is moving into the wine cellars, so efficiency in the wine cellars, but also this notion of labor. And for you, you're obviously working with independent grape growers, but even for properties where they own the vines, labor is a key point, because it is more and more difficult to find people that are prepared to work in the vineyards and on the land. I don't know if this is something anybody else has come across, but I know
One thing that is very important to put maybe the question out to the wineries is how they face the global climate changing, how they face this, because this will be very important for the sustainability of this sandwich in the future.
Yeah, I agree with that. Just to add on to that, the people, you're right, very, very important. And, you know, I wasn't able to join the previous workshop, but I imagine they talked about the growing risks in agriculture in general, and wine is no exception. And supermarkets, retailers are really, really getting wise to this, and we'll be looking at this in, you know, much, much more closely. But I think just at the point that Luis was making there about around farming practices as well in the face of climate change. And one of the things that we are seeing more of is this sort of growing movement towards more regenerative farming practices. And you know, there's a big debate and a big conversation, I think, there about not just what it can do to support efforts on climate change, but also how it can improve profitability for growers over time. So obviously, I'm sure people on this call know a lot more about this than I do. You know, it's all around improving the health and vitality of soil above and below ground, improving water retention, supporting carbon sequestration, improving resilience to climate change. But actually the benefits that we're hearing from our growers that they are getting from it is higher profit margins per hectare, because they're putting lower input costs into it, you know, whether that's from chemicals or just from tractor passes or fuel or whatever it might be, more consistent yields. So, you know, increased productivity because they're getting better yields or more consistent yields, perhaps. And also their vines are better able to be more resilient to the effects of climate change, increased pests, extreme drought, floods, and so forth. Some are looking at, you know, the carbon selling, the additional carbon sequestration through the carbon markets. I think it's pretty early days yet, but things are happening around that. And then I think probably also to Louise's earlier point, you know, arguably people are saying, well, you know, is it improving the quality of the wine and the value of the wine? I think that's a topic of debate, but we're certainly seeing that movement start to grow. And I think that's a really interesting one.
I think it just underlines how complicated or how complex and how detailed it is. The attention to detail all the way from the soil right to the glass bottle, right? All the way through, have we seen. Very interesting if you're increasing this perceived value, but also decreasing some inputs, but you're increasing other inputs, and how it affects yield. So when we're talking about the profitability, you've got these two sides of the coin and how they come together. So it's interesting that you see your suppliers talking about becoming sustainable is increasing their yield, or perhaps giving them a more consistent yield. Is this something that, Marta, you think that you're seeing with your members of the protocol?
Yes, but let me touch on something that is really important that Louise mentioned. It's not just about grape growers are by far the weakest link of the value chain. And many wine producers, especially the bigger ones, work just like Louise with a variety of grape growers or independent grape growers. So sustainability, and it has to do with, as Louise says, keeping people happy as well, has to do with sustainability across the wine value chain, not just for one of the stakeholders. And one of the things that our experience has told us is that when we're speaking to wine producers and they speak about sustainability, first of all, yes, they will not speak, they will understand sustainability if you talk about the financial side of the equation, so to speak. But sustainability, as we saw, is social and financial, as the word says, sustain. But especially in old Europe, in the old world of wine, when we're talking about grape growers and we're talking about sustainability across the wine value chain, we're talking about how much are we paying for a kilo of grapes. And that's sustainability as well. Profitability, not just for the wine producer, but for the rest of the stakeholders he's dealing with, not just for the wine importer, or wine distributor, or retailer, but for the weakest link of the value chain. And that's absolutely key, because they're the ones that suffer the most with climate change, but they're also the ones that are paid less and that have, and Luis pointed out a really important point as well, which is people need to want to work in the fields, in vineyards, or in other crops. And if it's not profitable for them,
they won't do it.
The producer, the wine producer, if they don't have enough grapes, they will not have grapes to produce their wine. So it has to be a win-win situation. And right now, very honestly, in most cases, it's not. It's not a sustainable value chain as we look at the whole stakeholders that are part of it. And I think this is an important topic, because when you speak to producers, they'll tell you sustainability, they'll give you examples like we have here of environmental sustainability, but most of their challenges are social from a social standpoint, either because it's not sustainable to grow grapes because they don't gain enough money because of that, or because they're suffering from climate change, or because they're not getting people to work on the field. So it's more actually social aspects along with water constraints are the biggest challenges for producers. Now, going back to your point, yes, of course, Well, most producers won't yield, don't they? But the fact is their yields are being threatened by the extreme events that we're facing. And this year or last year was an amazing example for that, of that, for the worst reasons possible, because they had less yields because of extreme weather events such as droughts and so I don't know the answer to that, because of course they need yield to sell. Some of the practice they're experimenting, for example, going through embarking on regenerative approaches, chances are it will reduce their yield, but it will be possible that it will increase the quality of their yield.
Or make it more consistent, I think.
Yes, more resilient. Yes, indeed. Yes, but I can't say I have an exact answer to that. But of course they want their yield, because that means they will have more wine to sell. But if it's not good, it won't be worth having a lot of yield, because it will not have the quality. And another important thing, and it goes to the fact that, especially if you're a pioneer like Louise and Vicky, they have amazing things to communicate besides their very good wine, and especially if they're pioneers. You first of all, you are selling wine. You're not selling sustainability. Sustainability becomes an episode of the story and a crucial one, but you have to have good wine ultimately. Otherwise, your practices will not be enough to sell your wine.
Well, thank you for that. We've kind of run out of time, but I think one of the big conclusions we can draw perhaps is that it's complicated, which I think we knew before we started the conversation. But lots of very positive messages about that. Yes, making your vineyard or your wine production more sustainable can be profitable. It's not mutually exclusive. And this message of this profitability being able to filter down, or at least the income to be able to filter down right down to the grape growers that are very much at the origin of the story. Thank you.